Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, we hear from Alan Dawson about rumblings around the realignment of Canada's wheat classes.
A number of Canadian wheat customers had complained that the gluten strength that they were accustomed to in the CWRS class wasn't there.
Commodity News Service Canada's Phil Franz Workington delves into the move of Winnipeg's canola contract to New York.
It's like moving up to the big leagues as far as canola is concerned from the farm team here in Winnipeg.
And Bruce Burnett discusses the prospects for rain across the prairies.
Obviously, we went into the season with low subsoil moisture, and the longer we become dry, the worse off it gets.
That's all on Between the Rows with this week's host, Gord Gilmore.
Welcome to the latest edition of Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Gord Gilmore. Later in the program, we'll be speaking to Glacier Farm Media's Bruce Burnett about that burning question: when can we expect to see some rain? We'll also be talking to Alan Dawson about the latest rumblings around realignment of Canada's various wheat classes. But up first, it's the end of an era. For nearly 130 years now, there's been a grain exchange in Winnipeg, the heart of the Western Canadian grain trade. It's changed and evolved over the years, but it's always been there. This past week, that changed again, with an announcement the canola contract is moving to New York City. Commodity News Service's Phil Franz Workington has had a front row seat over the years as this story's evolved, and he joins us now. Phil, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Gord.
So those of us who've been around for a while know, we know that this exchange has evolved a lot in recent years. Can you tell us a bit about that and the road that's led it here?
Yeah, definitely the market that keeps on going with different shifts and changes over the years. I started covering this back in 2003, and in those days it was still, there was still a floor you went to, and guys in colorful coats were yelling at each other and trading, and it was an active place. Stories I heard was that it had been much more active years earlier than that, but then late 2004, the Winnipeg Commodity Exchange at the time made the move to go all electronic and shutter the trading floor, and they were actually the first of the major kind of ag commodity markets in North America to move to an all-electronic platform. And so at the time, they moved all their canola and feed grains at the time to the electronic platform. And, the idea was to bring in more speculative money because, you can go farther afield when you're on a computer as opposed to a few guys in colorful coats at Portage in Maine. But and then a few years after that, the next shift was got bought out by ICE, Intercontinental Exchange. They're an Atlanta-based company, and that kind of was the next move. They've been owned from them for the past decade now, and eventually the offices have moved from downtown the literal exchange district in Winnipeg, named after the commodity exchange. They moved to, kind of a more, not the suburbs, but farther away from the downtown core.
So given that we've seen these changes and there hasn't been open outcry trading for a few years now, local ownership wasn't a thing anymore, was it always kind of becoming inevitable that things would be centralized elsewhere and that this wouldn't be going through Winnipeg anymore?
It does make sense. And, looking in, it was kind of a surprise when I heard it this week, but it does make sense that it's moving to a more kind of, New York is the central of the financial world. So, it was explained to me by one of the ICE Canada, the president here, Brad Vannon, in Winnipeg, that it's like moving up to the big leagues as far as canola is concerned from the farm team here in Winnipeg. And the idea is that they'll, with the canola futures based out of New York, where there's a lot of other world-based commodities being traded, that'll bring in more kind of global interest in it, and you know, provide even greater liquidity is the idea, which makes it more a better picture of marketing signals.
So will this really matter in practical terms for the folks who are using the contract for its intended purpose rather than speculation? If you're hedging your output or your purchases, is it going to make any real difference for you?
It shouldn't. The by all reports so far, the contract specifications will be the same with Canadian delivery points. It'll be based in Canadian dollars, and if you're looking at a computer, everything will look exactly the same as it had. It's just the money will be funneling through New York instead of Winnipeg. That's the official line now. What happens in a few years down the road, I suppose, remains to be seen. But that is it shouldn't change. And if it works, and the contract is working and viable, there really isn't a reason to change it, I wouldn't think.
So who will it matter to then? Who's going to be the most affected?
The most effective, I would think, would be some of the traders and brokers, the middlemen. Like, some of them would, there would be U.S. people are trading the Canadian futures, and they might have a Canadian broker that they're dealing with to trade canola. They may already have an account on the New York exchange, so why would they need the Canadian middleman anymore? So I think it might affect some of those sort of middlemen and speculative type people, but as far as the kind of grain company, farmer hedging, and that on that end, I'm not thinking it'll be, because these are all global companies and they're dealing everywhere already, right? So I don't think it'll change that much there.
So what do some of those current market participants say about this evolution then, given that they'll be the most affected?
All the ones I've talked to are, I guess, kind of a wait-and-see attitude. Like, they, you know, agree that it does seem inevitable now, but they do have, their questions are kind of more detail-oriented. Like, okay, now our regulator is coming from the U.S., so the U.S. regulations versus Canadian regulations, there's a slight difference there. So what does that mean for us? And those seem to be the questions they're asking, because, you know, it's already been 10 years where they're not in a room together, and they're, all dealing on screen. So from that end, they're not expecting much difference, and they're all trading Chicago futures already, so they're dealing with the U.S. as well. So there's some apprehension, but at the same time, kind of acceptance that this is kind of what are you going to do, I guess.
So what should we be watching over the next while as this whole thing plays out?
What should we be watching? Good question. All the details that have been, you know, just waiting on the details on how this will actually look, because, you know, right now the official word is a one-page announcement that this is happening, and so how will it physically manifest itself and actually, you know, the logistics of the change. Like, to think of it, it shouldn't be too much difference. You know, it just says New York instead of Winnipeg is for the clearing and whatnot, but there are logistical hurdles and to cross, and see as those details play out and more information becomes available. The plan is for this to all be done by the end of July, so that would be right in time for the new crop year. Mm-hmm. So but we'll see how that plays out.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Phil, for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was Phil Franz-Workington of Commodity News Service Canada telling us about the recent announcement the Winnipeg Canola Contract is moving to New York beginning later this year. That was Phil Franz-Workington of Commodity News Service Canada telling us about the recent announcement the Winnipeg Canola Contract is moving to New York later this year. Later, we'll talk to Glacier Farm Media's Bruce Burnett about the weather and grain markets, but up next is the Manitoba Cooperator's Alan Dawson. This week, he's been digging into changes to Canada's wheat classes and the reaction within the industry to the changes and how they're being made. So, Alan, fill us in. The Canadian Grain Commission made changes to wheat classes about, 3 years ago, I think it was. Why is the Alberta Wheat Commission and Cereals Canada raising concerns now?
Well, on April 20th, the Grain Commission announced that five wheats in the Canada Western Red Spring wheat class, which is the premium class of milling wheat in Canada, will be moving to the Canada Northern Hard Red class, which is generally a class where wheats receive less than the CWRS class in payment. And those five varieties are AAC Redwater, AC Domain, Much More Vesper, and 5605 HR Clearfield.
So why are these wheats moving to the different class?
Well, very quickly, they don't meet the CWRS class any longer.
And why don't they meet that standard?
Well, going back 3 years ago, the Grain Commission, after a lot of consultation with the industry, tightened up, changed the standards for the CWRS class, specifically around gluten strength, to get the gluten strength higher. Since then, there have been 2 years of testing of these five latest varieties that don't meet the new class standard any longer. They were okay when first registered, but the class standard has changed. So the Grain Commission says these varieties have to move to the CNHR class. And I should point out, too, that going back 3 years ago when these changes were made, at that time the Grain Commission announced that 25 CWRS wheats, including ones that are well-known like Harvest, Lillian, and Unity, would be moving from the CWRS class to the CNHR class actually this August 1st. And that, again, is because under the new standards, those 25 varieties don't meet the new standard.
So, and what prompted this new standard?
Well, going back about maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, a number of Canadian wheat customers had complained that the gluten strength that they were accustomed to in the CWRS class wasn't there. In other words, the gluten strength, which is gluten is an important component in bread making, that gluten strength, it was weaker, and the customers weren't happy about it. So the Grain Commission and a lot of people in the industry were concerned about that and got digging into it and decided that those standards, NU standards for gluten, had to tighten up.
So this is part of an ongoing process then, which kind of begs or raises the question, for me, about why now? Why is the Alberta Wheat Commission and Cereal Canada as opposed to this process that started years ago as a part of a process to address customer concerns?
Well, yeah, I kind of wondered about that too. I think at least two of those five, AC Redwater and Much More, are popular varieties in Alberta, and so a lot of farmers grow them, and a couple of them, I think AAC Redwater, is sort of seen as a replacement for Harvest, which is disappearing August 1st, and now this one, Redwater, will move to the CNHR class 3 years from now, so there's some concerns about that. Although I should point out that a lot of people feel, including CCAN, which is the developer of or the sort of property rights holder of Redwater, feels that 3 years' time they'll have other varieties to replace it.
So, what So this latest transfer, they're opposing it. But if they don't meet the standard, why are they protesting?
Well, that's a good point. They're saying Cereals Canada and the Alberta Wheat Commission are saying the Grain Commission should have looked at the done a cost benefit to see the impact on farmers. The Grain Commission says that its statutory role is to classify wheats based on end use quality. So, you know, the economic impact of removing or changing classes isn't really part of the mandate. Well, the Grain Commission does point out that, you know, economics comes into play into this because customers were complaining, and if we didn't do something about it, it could dramatically affect sales and farmers that way. But it's kind of puzzling. How do you leave a variety that doesn't meet the standard? I suppose if the acres were small enough, it might not undermine the class quality. And the other argument that Alberta makes and Cereals Canada, they're saying going forward, we should be looking at these things a bit more. We don't want to over-deliver on quality. You know, the customers might ask for the moon, and in doing so, then if we have standards that are too high, that gets in the way of developing good varieties for varieties, good insofar as they yield well or have good disease resistance.
One of the criticisms, as I understand it, is that they feel that the industry isn't being consulted. What do some of the regulators like the Grain Commission say about that?
Grain Commission says that how we got here with the wheat modernization effort 3 years ago, that there was extensive consultation. I think the public record backs that up. There was a lot of discussion, groups, farmers, grain companies, exporters could, and even customers submit their ideas, their response to what the CGC was proposing in writing. The Grain Commission also met with the Prairie Recommending Committee for Wheat, Rye, and Triticale, and also, which is involved, it's an industry-wide thing, so it's inclusive. You know, there's a lot of input from the industry through that mechanism. The Commission also met with wheat breeders to go over all this as well. So the Grain Commission saying that, you know, the process, there was a consensus, there was consultation, and going forward, the recommending committee has a big role to play in tweaking the class standards going forward.
So what do the Alberta Wheat Commission and Cereals Canada want to see happen then?
Well, I think it's sort of like the point you raised earlier. They say they want more transparency in the process, and they want more industry input. Grain Commission says, well, that's all accomplished through the recommending committee.
So how do you see this playing out then in the next little while?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, like it's I talked to Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission, the Manitoba Wheat and Barley Growers Association, and CCAN as well, all of them feel that it's important. I think the point Alberta and Cereals Canada is making, you've got to have a balance between what the customer wants and what's good for farmers. So everybody feels there's a balance that needs to be there. So whether it'll be interesting to see if other groups sort of go back, Cereals Canada and Alberta Wheat Commission, to reform the wheat class system again, even though it was essentially done 3 years ago. You know, whether those concerns have traction, or if they'll, at the very least, it'll be, I think, on everybody's minds when future changes are made, that to try and make sure that there is that balance between what's good for farmers in the field and what's good for the end users in the mill and the bakery.
That's great, Alan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Alan Dawson of the Manitoba Cooperator telling us a bit about the furs surrounding the ongoing realignment of Canada's wheat classes. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Gord Gilmore. Now we're joined by Glacier Farm Media's Bruce Burnett to tell us a bit about the markets and weather and the billion-dollar question, when's it going to rain? Bruce, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
So, wildfires destroying property from Manitoba to Texas this spring. What are the prospects for some rain in North America over the next couple weeks?
Well, as usual, it depends on what part of North America you're talking about, because there is rain going on. And actually today in parts of Alberta and Saskatchewan, we're getting some rain. Fortunately, in Manitoba, in eastern Saskatchewan, we have been exceedingly dry over the last month to 6 weeks. So that's creating some concerns here. And obviously, we went into this season with low subsoil moisture. And the longer we become dry, the worse off it gets.
Now, you're the weather expert, so forgive me if this is sort of a silly question, but my impression's always been that the eastern prairies were the wetter. So is this a bit of an unusual situation where we're really in sort of this much trouble in the east?
Yeah, it's a very unusual situation, and it's been caused mostly by that cool weather that we had during April. There was a very strong cold flow that pushed most of the systems down into places like South Dakota and Minnesota. So that's where most of the precipitation that we would normally get during a spring has gone so far. Eventually, we're going to see some of this moisture move northward as things warm up. And I would say that probably the second half of May right now, according to the models, looks to be the best time that we would have a chance of getting significant precipitation. Generally speaking, in the prairies, we need to get some good rains here, because even though Alberta and Saskatchewan have been getting some precipitation, they've still had less than 40% of normal through the last 6 weeks.
So turning to the grain markets now, USDA is going to release the first report of the 2018-19 crop year on this Thursday. What information will be the most important in this report?
I think really we can look at this as most important for the wheat market. This will be the first estimates we get of U.S. winter wheat production, as well a first indication of what the global supplies are going to be like for wheat. So I'm going to be very interested in seeing what that U.S. production estimate is. A lot of the trade feels it's about 1.75 billion bushels of U.S. production this year. And particularly, I'm going to be interested in the hard red winter wheat number. Again, trade feels 600 to 675 million bushels of HRW production this year, which is down significantly from last year. But certainly in reports from that area, you would expect that there might be numbers even lower coming in from USDA. A lot of this is going to depend on the methodology, and the crop is behind down in those regions. So that would tend to make you believe that the number is going to be a little bit higher than it would be at a normal time in terms of looking at the crop estimates.
And can I ask, why is that crop behind? I'm not sure I'm familiar with why.
For a couple of reasons. The main reason is the drought. The region is under a severe drought, and what's happened is the crop has just not grown quickly because it hasn't had moisture available to it. The crop tour last week by the Wheat Quality Council in the U.S. went through and essentially came up with an estimate that was the second smallest since 89. So a very small crop that they saw. But the reports did note that this delayed development, and the crops themselves were very short in a lot of cases. So you had a lot of wheat that's in the flag leaf stage at 6 inches. So again, we'll have to monitor the situation as we go along here in the coming weeks as that crop tries to get to maturity.
So what about corn prices? They've been on a rise, the rise a bit this spring. What are the prospects for the feed grain market globally and here in Canada?
The prospects have been improving here, and it's key again to the South American production. The winter corn crop, called the Safrina crop in Brazil, is under development. The rains have generally taper off this time of year, but they certainly have stopped coming through. So the crop's under some stress, and crop estimates are dropping. At the same time, you've had the drought in Argentina that hit the regular summer crop. So the U.S. is now exporting a large amount of corn into the world market. And there are concerns, especially since the U.S. is supposed to plant less corn next year, that we're going to start to really tighten up the corn supply and demand balance in the globe. And so that's going to lead to higher prices, and we're starting to see that, especially for the December time period here now. Even though the U.S. harvest will be off by then, we're seeing some fairly good prices, over $4.20 a bushel on the futures.
Well, that's some good news, Bruce. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
That was Glacier Farm Media's Bruce Burnett with the latest on markets and the weather. That's another edition of Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Gord Gilmore, saying thanks for joining us, and we'll hope you join us again next time.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.